You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The disciples of Jesus had worked very, very hard. According to the Bible, they had fished all night, but they did not catch one thing, not even one fish. Finally, the night was over, and the day was breaking, and it was gradually getting light. And as the disciples of Jesus headed their boat toward the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, they saw someone standing at the water's edge. They could not see exactly who it was. It was still early, and their eyes were tired. These weary disciples did not recognize that the man standing on the shore was Jesus. This was the same Jesus who only a few weeks before had been crucified on the cross and then raised again from the dead. And so as the resurrected Christ stood on the seashore, and as the tired disciples, these weary fishermen, were still several hundred yards out on the sea, Jesus called out to the men and said, "You do not have any fish, do you?" And they answered and they said, "No." Then Jesus said, "Take your fish nets and cast them on the right-hand side of the boat, and there you will find a catch." Surprise! This is what was waiting for the disciples, a great surprise. In the Bible we read that when the disciples responded to the Savior's command and threw their nets on the right-hand side of the boat, so large was the catch of fish that they were unable to pull the net into the boat. Imagine a catch of fish so large that these strong men, these husky veteran fishermen, using all of their joint muscle power, could not pull the fish into the boat. Suddenly, however, in the midst of all of this excitement, the Apostle John recognized the man standing on the shore. "It is the Lord," John said. And when Peter heard this, he got so excited he lost control of himself. Peter jumped into the water, and he forgot all about the miraculous catch of the fish. Peter immediately waded through the water, heading for the shore, to be with the one that he loved so much, the one who had been crucified and now raised again from the dead. Oh, this is indeed a most interesting story from the Bible. But this dramatic event also makes a powerful point. You and I can certainly identify with these weary disciples. They had fished all night, but they ended up with absolutely nothing. Their nets were empty, and we can sympathize with their discouragement. Having also sacrificed their sleep, they were most likely edgy and grumbling and upset, and they were not very easy to get along with. Does this ever sound like you? Are you ever tired and upset? Do you begin to grumble sometimes? And are there days when you too are not easy to get along with? Oh, indeed, my friend, at this hour, you too may feel very, very much like the disciples did on the Sea of Tiberias. You have worked very hard in your life, and you have sacrificed and you have given up many things in order to provide for your family. And what have you received in return for all of your sacrificial efforts? Probably very little, if anything at all. And instead of getting ahead, you feel yourself falling more and more behind in life. Your hopes of a better life have only become a shattered dream. Even members of your own family may have decided to go their own way and do their own thing and forget about you completely. Now, if this is your situation, then it's time for you to do just like the disciples did, especially Peter and John. For instead of constantly focusing in on your frustrations, turn your attention away from your troubles, my friend, and look away from your failures. Instead, by faith, look unto Jesus and recognize this man. Jesus Christ is your friend. Jesus Christ is always near you. And in spite of your failures, Jesus the Lord Christ loves you more than anyone in the whole world. And even in your most impossible situations, the Lord Jesus is willing and He is ready to help you, just as he helped the discouraged disciples on the Sea of Tiberias. The ironic situation of these weary disciples is also often replayed in your life and mine. Many of us who consider ourselves Christian often speak about our faith, but in spite of all of our religious talk, often we are in trouble and we don't turn to God. We seek resolutions and help in ourselves. Oh, my friend, have you ever done this? Isn't this how it is with many of us today? We go to church on Sunday, we pray in the pews, but when we get back home, everything suddenly changes. We suddenly forget all about our religion. For some reason, we forget the presence of our Savior, and so then, as we try to live our life on our own apart from God, every problem again appears as one great brick wall, and every little frustration becomes a major family crisis. Why? Why does this happen? This happens simply because the devil tricks us into believing that our happiness depends on our own ability to cope with and to solve all of our own dilemmas. Yes, it is the devil who wants us to look away from Jesus. Jesus said, "Look unto me." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus is saying to you today that he wants you to return to him and he wants to heal you. Jesus wants to forgive you and he wants to strengthen you and he wants to give you, most of all, an eternal hope that even the devil himself can never take away. And so then, my friend, if after honestly examining your own life, you see yourself repeatedly distracted by the devil, and in so doing, you are trying to solve all your problems on your own, then it is time for you to confess this sin to your gracious Heavenly Father. Your loving Father will hear your prayers and your confession. Yes, even in your weakness, even if you wonder whether you actually have any faith at all, God will enable you also to look and to recognize that he is waiting to help you. And so then, for your own confidence and comfort, establish your daily faith life upon the solid foundation, that promise that Jesus gave to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Oh yes, my friend, instead of struggling in the darkness of this world, it is time for you to raise up your eyes of faith. Look up, yes, look up and behold the one who is always at your side and always ready to assist you. And then as you return in sincere repentance to your Savior, pray unto God the Father that he would send unto you his Spirit. This Almighty Spirit of God, this Spirit of help and hope, will surely enable you to live your life more closely with your Savior. And this means that as you arise every morning, this means that the very most important thing that must occupy your mind from now on is that you are forgiven by God. This may not sound right, I know. This does not sound right in the world, because in the world, if you want something, you have to earn it. But in God's eyes, because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for you on the cross, your sins have already been paid for. Yes, my friend, forgiveness has been purchased for you. This then also means that you must receive this free gift of forgiveness by faith. Begin your new relationship with God by expressing your sincere sorrow for all of your sins, and then pray that God will also enable you to forget all your past sins and failures, and then fix your faith in your future not upon yourself, but upon the sin-atoning crucifixion wounds of your blessed Redeemer. It also means that you will need to forgive all those who have sinned against you. Daily, you and I need to repeat the words of Jesus and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Our old Adam, our sinful nature, may attempt to persuade us to cling onto our past sins, our past failures, and our past grudges. But if you and I expect to be truly filled with the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God, then we need first, through sincere repentance, to be emptied out of all of our sinfulness, which daily drags us down. This need for repentance and renewal is not only for lay people. This is also true for the clergy. We also have our temptations. We have our sins, and we have our many failures. We too need the love of God and the mercy of God and the hope of the crucifixion cross of Christ. And if you and I expect the Spirit of God to take up residence in our hearts, then we had better not constantly give refuge to the spirits of the devil as we live our lives. Dishonesty, laziness, self-pride, and self-promotion are all those things which so fill our hearts and our lives that it becomes impossible for the life-giving Spirit of God to control our thoughts and our actions. And so then, as we consider again our text for today, we see that as soon as the disciples recognized Jesus as he stood on the seashore and how he had the power to deliver them from their dilemma, they were immediately drawn to their loving Lord. According to the Bible, so great was their enthusiasm to be with their Savior that when Peter saw Jesus, he didn't wait for the boat to get to the shore. Instead, Peter immediately threw himself into the sea, and he headed for the one whom he so dearly loved. And so then, my dear friends, may Peter's response be an example for all of us. Let's not wait around. Let's not hesitate to get close to the Savior. With great faith and courage, let's throw ourselves into the sea of life. And as we do, even if the waves of disappointment threaten us, let us with great joy keep our eyes only and alone on our blessed, crucified, and resurrected Christ. You and I can do this. Yes, we can head straight for Jesus when we make definite arrangements to have daily family devotions. But you may respond, this is impossible. People don't get together as a family anymore. They may have done this years ago, but it's not possible today. Oh, don't believe that lie of the devil. The great majority of families still get together almost every day. In a front page article in the New York Times, in December 1990, it was reported, and I quote, that according to the New York Times CBS News poll, the vast majority, over 80% of Americans with children, say that on a typical weeknight, most of their family eats dinner together. And so then, since we know that there is a better than average chance that you and your family also can get together, especially for the evening meal, then please take a few minutes for the Lord. Read the Bible and say your prayers. And fathers and husbands, you take the lead. Ask the Heavenly Father to be with each of you to protect you. And ask the Lord Jesus Christ to assure your hearts of perfect forgiveness and total pardon. This will also enable you and your family to get along better. Pray also to the Holy Spirit. In repentance and sincerity, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and your family into all truth. And in so doing, you will then experience the same type of rescue that the disciples experienced in our text as they were fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. Forgiveness among your family members will surely increase. Frustration at work will surely diminish. And many of the material things of this world that you now feel that you must have will no longer be all that necessary for you. As a result, you and your family will experience more peace, more joy, and a greater life. In our text for today, we read about some very discouraged men. These were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, they were very religious. They were very religious. They were very much like many of us. But they also failed. And so, my friends, it is time for you and it is time for me to look away from ourselves and our failures, too. Lift up your eyes. Don't always look at yourself. Look instead unto the Lord and behold the one who has conquered sin. Yes, look upon the one who has conquered death and depression and discouragement. Look unto Jesus, who now offers you hope and strength in his own resurrection from the dead. Return then unto the Lord and do not delay one day, and you can be 100% assured that the Lord Jesus Christ will grant unto you and your family the strength to face all failures and the power to overcome all temptations. And then you will also receive the solid foundation of faith to win the great struggles of life. And now, as I speak these powerful words of encouragement and hope to you, let me also leave you with the sacred, uplifting words of Scripture from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our God, we pray, grant strength, forgiveness, power, and an eternal hope unto all those who are listening at this hour. Amen.